Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Fat Bear Week is underway. We love checking in with our friends in Alaska every year. And Mike Fitz is the resident naturalist with explore.org. They put on Fat Bear Week. In fact, you can go to explore.org right now. You'll see some of the bears we're talking about. How are you today, Mike?
I'm doing well. Happy Fat Bear Week.
How many millions of views? This has been going on for what, maybe 10 years?
That's right. Yeah, about 10 years. We've been doing Fat Bear competition in partnership with Katmai National Park. And last year we had about 1.1 or 1.2 million votes. And I think we're on pace to equal that this year.
That has got to help bear conservation and appreciation and a greater understanding of wildlife in general, I would imagine.
I certainly hope so. One of the goals of Fat Bear Week is to raise awareness for like the amazing landscape that is Katmai National Park, the abundance of salmon that are there, and help to motivate people to protect places like that. Also, maybe just get to know some bears and have a little bit of fun. I mean, there's a lot of crap going on in the world, and there are we need to realize there are places worth saving, for sure, and Katmai National Park is one of them.
Where exactly in Alaska is Katmai National Park?
It's southwest of Anchorage, about 300 miles, so southwest Alaska. It's only accessible by plane or boat, however, so you can't drive there. If you get to Anchorage, you got to take a plane or a boat to get the rest of the way.
So for female bears, they give birth while they're hibernating, or at least in their dens for the winter. What determines whether they give birth to one or two cubs?
Body fat, essentially. Fatter females typically have larger litters. Although, there's other factors, maybe like, only one egg, for example, happened to get fertilized during the mating season. But in general, the fatter the female, the more likely you are to successfully reproduce. So imagine, if you're a mother bear, you need to eat not only for your own survival, but if you're going to give birth in the den, you have to have enough fat reserves to be able to produce the milk so your cubs can survive the next several months before you come out of the den.
Because when they come out of the den, they look pretty skinny.
They do. They can lose about a third of their body weight during hibernation.
So this one bear on Fat Bear Week, Chunk, how much does that guy weigh?
He's probably a 1,200-pound bear. I'd actually kind of be surprised if he's less than that. So he's one of the largest bears that we see at Brooks River. He's an absolute giant.
And what's funny is they describe him as a large adult male with narrowly set eyes. And his eyes are kind of close together. Doing what you do as a naturalist, just by looking at that, if you saw them out in the wild, would you be able to clearly identify those that you see on a regular basis?
Yes. Yeah, it can seem maybe difficult at first, but when you look at bears, take a second look at them. It's like going into a room full of people for the first time. You see everyone in there is a human. But you take a second look and you're like, okay, well, that person behaves this way. This person is taller. This person's shorter. This one has, narrowly set eyes, those sorts of things. So, each bear at Brooks River is a unique individual. And that's one of the things that makes watching bears there special and unique is we get to know them as individuals.
And is this why you choose Brooks River for Fat Bear Week? Because it is largely inaccessible and if it was an accessible place, maybe closer to Anchorage, that maybe too many people would try and get up close and get a picture?
Well, that's one of the challenges that national parks around the nation are facing is, increasing in visitation. And of course, parks are partly for people, but they're also for the ecosystems that are there. And Brooks River is kind of like this blended landscape between sort of like the wildness of Katmai and the modern human landscape where there's a lodge there. There's actually wildlife viewing platforms where people can go to watch the bears in person. But it's carefully managed as well to try to minimize impact as best we can on brown bears. So anybody who goes there has to undergo what's called the bear orientation. It's basically a short safety talk saying, do this, don't do that, have a great time out there in the park. So, yeah, it's a tightrope walk for sure.
Yeah, I would imagine. You know, we don't have many bears in Illinois. Of course, they traverse through our state every once in a while, and it's unfortunate because it gets posted on social media, and the next thing you know, there's a crowd of cars following a black bear. Wisconsin is chock full of them. They've got them in Michigan and Minnesota. And with the boy, that word's not coming out. With the amount of people in some of these areas, we never see their dens. We never see where they winter over. It's rare, unless you're a naturalist or you're, you know, a diehard hunter, that we would encounter where they choose to spend their winter. Are they in caves? Where else do they hibernate?
Yeah, throughout North America, though, bears will use a variety of denning habitats. Some of them actually just kind of den out in the open, if you even want to call it a den. So in more mild climates, they might just go into a thicket where they know they're relatively safe, you know, where people are unlikely to go into a swamp or something like that, and they'll just kind of hunker down in there. In places where there's large trees, they may go into a tree cavity itself, or they may dig underneath the roots of a tree in a relatively inaccessible area. Bears have a great intelligence for their landscape, and of course they have to survive. So they know where people are likely to be. They know where people are unlikely to be. In some places, that might be a cave or an overhang and some rocks or something like that. In Katmai National Park in Alaska, the geology doesn't really allow them to use caves. And their trees don't grow big enough. So what they're doing there is they're just digging straight into a hillside in a place where the snow is likely to cover their den entrance and keep them insulated from the winter weather.
Interesting. Boy, that's pretty amazing stuff. So how far do we need to be from them, or how close do we need to be to a bear before they smell us if the wind is in the right direction?
Bears have an incredible sense of smell. They have pretty good eyesight, too. So it's a myth that they have poor eyesight. It's really their sense of smell, however, that they rely on more than anything else. So if the wind is blowing your scent towards a bear, they're going to know about it. That can help to alert them, of course, to dangers and things like that. I don't know if anyone's ever really tested how far away a bear can smell something, but there's a lot of stories about people watching bears in like the Rocky Mountains, for instance, or polar bears, for instance, and polar bears walking in a certain direction and then catching something, a scent of something on the wind and turning, and then they will go in that direction for several kilometers to find, you know, if it happens to be like a food source or something like that. So I would not doubt if bears know exactly when you've been in a spot. Like if you cross paths and you're using the same path but at different times, if you came before the bear probably knows exactly how long ago you were there.
Okay, so Chunk, number 32, Fat Bear Week. I really like this guy. You said he weighs about 1,200 pounds. When he comes out of the den in the spring, how much weight will he have lost?
Yeah, about a third of his body weight he'll have lost in the den. So he's still going to be a really big bear, but probably, you know, a 900-pounder only. But that still, you know, puts him in, like, probably the top, you know, 1% or 2% of brown bears in the world.
That's cool. Tell everybody how they can vote. You just go to explore.org, correct?
Yeah, well, fatbearweek.org is the easiest way to find it, and that'll redirect you to a site on explore.org where you can vote right now. We got a couple of matches ongoing today, so you can get to know the bears there, read about their bios. You can also go to explore.org directly and watch the bears on the webcams at Brooks River. Maybe some of the bears in Fat Bear Week are campaigning for your vote right now.
Always fun and a great distraction, and we appreciate our yearly check-in with you. So thanks for joining us, Mike.
Hey, you're welcome, and happy Fat Bear Week.